Here you go. Take it away, Rick.
Hi, thank you. It's very nice to be here with you this evening here virtually. There may be a little bit of activity and noise in the background. I have some energetic young girls who seem to have ramped up their level of energy significantly in the last 5 minutes. But regardless, I'll do what I can to stay on track. Again, it's nice to be with you. I want to thank Cynthia for the introduction. I think what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, is I could share with you a simplified, you know, form of the presentation that I shared with a number of different boards and commissions over the past several weeks, share that with you, and then I'm happy to entertain any and all questions that you might have about our fiber optic initiative. So unless there's some objection, I'll go ahead and shift over to share screen and begin. All right. Oops. Well, I need to figure out how to present these. I knew it a second ago when I was doing this for everyone. Oh, slideshow. There we go. Is that showing up full screen for everyone?
Yep.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Again, I'm Rick Dietz. I'm the Director of the Information and Technology Services Department of the City of Bloomington. I've been with the city quite some time and seen a lot of change in the IT environment and our local broadband environment. And I'm really excited to be able to talk to you about this project. It's something that I and the city's administration, especially John Hamilton, the mayor, have been pushing for quite some time, and we're excited that it's come to fruition here. Let me know if this is showing up full screen. I'm shifting so I'm not trying to talk to the camera and look a different way. So, all right. So the city has had a number of objectives over the past several years in terms of improving our broadband situation. We've sought a partner to provide Bloomington, you know, residences and businesses with a ubiquitous city wide fiber connectivity. One of our main goals has been to secure the benefits of modern technology for everyone in our community, whether it be in education, healthcare, employment, entertainment, et cetera, and have those benefits be available throughout our community, regardless of income and regardless of geography in our community. We've also focused on efforts to bridge the digital divide in our community and address digital equity gaps that we have seen and documented through our digital equity survey and strategic plan, and overall to enhance our community's competitiveness as a leading innovative community and a location, you know, desirable for high technology employment. There's a fairly extensive backstory to this project, but I'll start by saying back in 2016, almost immediately after Mayor Hamilton came into office, we began working on, you know, essentially this fiber optic initiative. We released a request for information that received 21 responses that we whittled down to 12, 6, 4, 2, and eventually one party that we began intensive negotiations with to bring fiber optic service everywhere in our community. That company was Axia. That negotiation was initially fruitful, but then dissolved at essentially the last minute when they were purchased by a large investment firm, and they changed their market targets away from Bloomington. And that included about a half a dozen other communities in the U.S. that they were talking to at the same time. We talked to a number of other parties who were who had submitted to, you know, our request for information process, as well as others outside of that, and then ultimately talked again with a company called Metronet, which also merged with another company, and their market target changed as well. Throughout this process, we've engaged in the RFI process, as well as other conversations with our local internet providers, but pretty much every time we have engaged with them, we found that they were not interested in pursuing a citywide comprehensive, you know, fiber to the premise deployment, and they were generally not aligned with a variety of our city goals, whether it be, you know, digital equity or otherwise. Once we came to essentially March of 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic began to result in, you know, shutdowns and other, you know, societal changes, which showed us how important, you know, digital connectivity was and continued to be. It amplified that in our mind. Prior to that, we had begun the process of deploying a digital equity survey with the desire to produce a strategic plan. That survey was deployed in April and May of 2020, and then the strategic plan was completed and released at the end of the year in 2020, and has been a guiding touchstone for us since then. In September of 2020, we began talking with a company called Wired, and they, like others before them, were purchased by a large investment firm, which then turned its sights to other communities. But they, the staffers at Wired had a lot of strong business connections with Meridiam, and essentially engaged in a friendly handoff of our information to them, which bootstrapped our efforts to our conversations with Meridiam. We found that they were closely aligned with a lot of our goals, indeed much more closely aligned than any of the other partners that we had detailed discussions with. Those conversations resulted in a letter of intent that was signed in August of 2021. And then from that time until just the last couple of months, we've been working on a master agreement, a digital equity model inventory of our city conduit assets and, you know, numerous site visits. They are very different from the other organizations that we have talked with and our local providers, in that they are an international public infrastructure developer. Infrastructure is their business. They are based in France with their headquarters in New York City. Uniquely and powerfully, I think, they are a mission-driven firm. They are a benefit corporation, which means that in addition to the normal fiscal responsibilities of a corporation, they have baked into their charter, their operating DNA, environmental, social, and corporate governance goals, and specifically, they are aligned with the UN's sustainable development goals. As an overall business, their areas of focus are in transportation, energy transformation, and fiber. Yes. And because of this alignment of goals, we find them to be a uniquely good fit with Bloomington and our strategic plan. So I'll tell you a little bit about the overall project. Meridium is in the process right now of deploying a gigabit speed fiber optic network that is an open access network, which is also unique about this project. Meridium is not itself a ISP, an internet service provider. They are an infrastructure developer. They have a partner who we will announce within the next week or two that will operate as an ISP on their network. And they will do so for a period of about 5 to 7 years, but after that exclusivity period, the network will be opened up to any new ISP provider or existing incumbent providers to use that network. Meridium is proposing to make a $50 million investment in Bloomington to develop this network, including bringing new jobs into our community and establishing a Bloomington office. They'll provide full community coverage throughout the boundary of the project, which includes all of the current area of the city of Bloomington, plus the areas that the city has made an effort to annex. And the cost of the ISP service will be competitive with other local providers. Also, part of this agreement is a commitment from Meridium to for network neutrality protections. The city of Bloomington has a voice at the table in the event that the project were to be purchased, or they wanted to sell the network. We have a say in that transition. This project extends beyond Bloomington. The entirety of the project includes Columbus, Shelbyville, then also Bartholomew County is coming along. When we first started talking with Meridium, their investment threshold is greater than just building a network in Bloomington. So we looked to our neighbors that had similarly situated communities in terms of broadband access, and Columbus and Shelbyville is part of this project. The build for the network will start this year before the end of the year and conclude here in 3 years or less. And then one of the most compelling features of this, to my thinking, is the digital equity initiative, which is part of this project. It essentially allows a household an income eligible household to subscribe to a 250 megabits up and down service with no connection fee, and factoring in the Biden-Harris administration's affordable connectivity program subsidy to take advantage of the service at essentially $0 per month. Their Meridiam will establish a digital equity staff person here in the community to assist bringing on low-income households to the program. And they'll be contributing $85,000 annually into the city's digital equity fund. The digital equity initiative will also be available at all Bloomington Housing Authority apartment buildings. And as I mentioned, the eligibility is quite broad. It essentially tracks eligibility for other low-income Indiana and U.S. federal government support programs. If a household member is eligible for those programs, then that household is eligible for the city's and Meridiam's digital equity initiative. This digital equity initiative fulfills a number of the city's digital equity strategic plan goals, which we're very excited to be able to do. The city is contributing to this project as well. We're pledging $1 million to a digital equity fund that will support a connection of households to the network and support other digital equity activities. We intend to be an active partner in the overall digital equity initiative. The city, the council has voted in favor of this, and the TIF process has already moved forward, providing property tax relief for this project. And Meridiam is also able to use unused City of Bloomington, Bloomington Digital Underground conduit to serve and help bootstrap the network. Build out. As I mentioned, the overall project boundary includes the city of Bloomington, which you see kind of in gray, and the kind of orangey pink area outside are the areas that were identified for annexation. We want the network to be built out and include all of these areas. That's in our agreement with Meridiam. This shows a little bit of an early network design. It's just looking at the City of Bloomington areas, but you'll see in here that the areas in red are tentatively planned to be developed underground. The areas that are in blue will be utilizing Duke Energy electric poles for the deployment of the network. I mentioned before, this is the path of the city's conduit infrastructure, which is available for Meridiam to use throughout the project. And to date, this has passed through a number of city boards and commissions. The tax increment finance tax reduction process went through the Redevelopment Commission, Plan Commission, Economic Development Commission, the City Council, as well as back to the Redevelopment Commission. And then we have also a process that went through the Board of Public Works, first through the Bloomington Digital Underground Advisory Commission, and then the Board of Public Works adopting a resolution in support of this. And in summary, this project will provide Bloomington with a community-wide gigabit speed fiber to the premise network. It will be an open access network after an exclusivity period to an initial ISP. It's built by a very unique partner, Meridiam. They're a benefit corporation committed to sustainability and equity and in close alignment with our community goals. This initiative establishes a groundbreaking digital equity program. Again, 250 megabits up and down service with no startup fees at essentially $0 a month for low income qualifying households. We're essentially attracting a high technology company that wants to make greater than $50 million investment in our community's infrastructure, including local jobs. The overall project is in excess of $90 million if you factor in Shelbyville and Columbus as well. The network will be operated by Hoosier Networks LLC, which will be headquartered in Bloomington to support the Indiana operations in Bloomington, Columbus, and Shelbyville. Martinsville is on here, but they're not part of the project at the moment. That company is essentially the Indiana face of Meridiam. There is no tax increase to the public using the TIF funding to support the project, and it was approved, as I mentioned, by multiple boards and commissions, including the city council, to get to this point. This quote is from Blair Levin, who was the director of the Obama administration's national broadband plan. He has been an advisor and supporter of our efforts throughout the last few years. He was very excited and supportive of this project, just as we are. And with that, thank you very much for allowing me to share this information with you. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
All right, thank you, Rick. I'm gonna ask people to virtually raise your hands if you know how, and otherwise raise your hands visually, kind of like this, and I'll try to keep some order in our questions. Ellen, I see your hand first, if you want to unmute yourself and ask.
Yeah, I have a question about what I've been seeing the last few years. Tell me how this plays with all of the other orange tubes I've been seeing sticking out of the ground all over the place, and sometimes within the same neighborhood, within a few years, different rounds of them.
Yeah, this this will be a little bit different than that. So I've seen that as well. A number of our local incumbent providers have had stop and start projects going on throughout the community for a couple of years. A number of those weren't completed. You know, we received a number of complaints about orange conduits sticking out of the ground for months and years that were, you know, that have been unaddressed. Some of those have started to become addressed, in part because of this project, I think. There for areas that are underground, there will be underground construction, you know, with conduit. But this is part of an effort that is going to be moving from start to completion of the entire, you know, area of the community. So there should not be conduit sticking out of the ground for, you know, any extended, you know, period of time. If once we get into this process, that's something that you encounter, we want to know about it and we'll be able to address it. but we have limited, leverage with incumbent providers that we don't have any contract with. With the Meridiam project, we have an agreement, and we fully expect that they will perform, and they will take care of our communities in ways that we aren't able to obligate our existing our current providers. So what you should see is there will be activity, but it should progress in a way that doesn't leave any conduit exposed for any extended period of time. Thanks for the question.
I don't see any other hands. Paul, or maybe it's Liz. Do you want to go unmute yourself and go ahead?
Okay. Rick, you gave a very clear idea of everything that's, all the details, but does the administration know exactly when this will become available for the public yet? Or is that too much into the future that you just don't know that yet?
Thanks for the question. It's not too much into the future. At the moment, we expect Meridiam, and really its construction firm, AEG, to begin placing permits with the city, within 1 to 2 weeks, or possibly within, the next month. And they intend to, at least initially, to begin construction before the end of the year. I think we'll have some announcements about that in the not too distant future, when the final arrangements between Meridiam and the ISP has been made. We will be announcing that. It's the intent right now of Meridiam that they will have some amount of live customers before the end of the year. So they will be constructing out from their network hub, and as they go, they'll be able to bring on some number of households by the end of the year. If not, it would be very early in 2023, within the first quarter that this service is available. Now, it will take time to build out the entirety of the community. Again, we're projecting 2 to 3 years on that, but we're hopeful that there'll be customers this year.
Thank you. Natalia, you want to, you did unmute yourself.
Thank you. Can I ask, and maybe you covered it and I just didn't hear it, just to kind of speak to your last point about, the neighborhood build out. Do you have any idea of what that will look like, and like the transparency of that process? For example, I live on the Near West Side, and we do have fiber already with AT&T, but I know the next neighborhood is it the west side of us, is Waterman, and they struggle with a connectivity or a service of any kind there. Mm-hmm. So how will the community be involved in seeing the neighborhoods that are the order, if you will, say there's 50 neighborhoods, where they are in the process?
Yeah, there's a couple of things on that. First, the AEG and Meridiam will be going through our permitting process. So that will be one area that is visible to the public on where they're proposing that. And we also intend to make that information available either through a resource on the city's website or some kind of resource that's available through a website in affiliation with the construction firm or with Meridium itself. But we want that information to be transparent to everyone. And generally the way that that construction will look, they have essentially zones, and there's probably going to be about 50 or 60, you know, of those, where there's about 250 to 500 residences. They don't correspond, you know, directly to, you know, the city's neighborhood associations, but they're, you know, geographically contiguous, you know, areas, blocks, you know, within the city. And so we'll have information about how that is being, you know, staged out, and there'll be communications around that to residences about what's, you know, what's what they can expect coming up. Now, some areas will be underground, and areas will be, you know, more aerial fiber, so it'll look a little bit different on the ground. But we want to make sure that everybody knows what's happening, so there's no surprises.
Thank you. Other questions?
I think John Kennedy has his hand raised.
Oops, sorry, John, I didn't see that. Go ahead and go ahead. Oops. You're not muted, but you're not being heard. Still not hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, all right. Following on Natalia's question, are you going to, I don't know what the right word is, encourage Meridium to provide fiber to those neighborhoods that are most in need of the digital equity? So that, you know, it's not coming out to Spicewood first, but we have a big choice of this, but rather to some of those neighborhoods that really need fiber more than other parts of the city.
So thank you for that good question. That's something that is important to us. The intent of this project is to cover all of the Bloomington boundary and the extended Bloomington boundary, if you can include the annexation areas, regardless of that income consideration. But it's part of our digital equity plan that I didn't mention in the presentation, but essentially the city will be identifying areas that an area that includes, you know, 20% of our residences. And the goal there is that the uptake of customers in those areas is equivalent to the uptake in the non, you know, low income identified areas. So they have to make an effort to build, not just build to those areas, but to effectively bring on low income households. You know, again, we think that the digital equity plan, it's at least to our knowledge, among the best, if not the best, in the United States. We think that's going to be really appealing, you know, but it's also baked into the performance expectations we have for Meridium that they will be building to those areas, and they will bring on, you know, customers, so that they have the benefit of this infrastructure like everyone else.
Okay, Rick, there's also a question that was put in the chat.
All right, I will look at that.
I can read it to you. It's,
I can see it.
See it? Okay.
All right. So the question is, when Meridium builds out the network, there will be a ISP, that we will announce in a couple of weeks, I expect. And that that ISP will be the organization that that markets and sells and deploys the broadband service. So most people are who come on board will be shifting, you know, from a current provider or starting up, you know, a new service if they currently did not have a provider. What Meridiam's offering, what the ISP is offering, is a digital broadband service. It's not a traditional like cable, you know, cable television service. So if that's, you know, where your area of interest is, then, you know, this won't satisfy that. But by and large, you know, most folks are, you know, transitioning to what's called an over-the-top model, where you use, you know, an Apple TV or Roku device or something, you know, like that to get your, you know, for your various television services or Netflix or what have you. You know, wouldn't necessarily, you know, need or want, you know, the expense of a, you know, of additional like cable TV service. But if you are wanting the content that is only available on Comcast through their cable service, then you would need to stay there. But I'd be happy to talk with you about ways that you can adopt, you know, over the top services and save a little money there as well.
There's another couple of questions, and John, well, John, why don't you go ahead?
Sorry, just a quick question. Have negotiations happened with Duke yet for the using their poles?
Yes, they have. There's a, it's probably, you know, well, Duke has committed several hundred poles per month in terms of access. So yes. Now that's you know, slower than the underground process, you know, even with that many poles, but it's you know, we appreciate that Duke has recognized this project is important to our community and committed to as many poles as they have.
Whoops, sorry if people are hearing my ping. My daughter's going crazy with messages to me. So we have a follow-up about, as far as I know, most of the streaming services don't offer Big Ten Network, which would be a specific, you know, in the Bloomington question, I guess. So that can be explored. And then Natalia said she has another question that isn't directly related to Meridiam. So if there are any other questions directly, if not, we'll go to Natalia's question.
Natalia, I think you're muted still.
Okay. I just didn't want to switch subjects because I know we're here about Meridiam. I was just wondering about the speaker system over in city council chambers. So I am a nerd. And after COVID, like when COVID happened and they switched to Zoom, I started like really kind of watching and following along with what's happening in the city. Now that they're, we've gone back to in-person like in-person meetings at City Hall and on Zoom. Was wondering if the sound system or the timing system that Councilmember Volin requested back in 2020 has been purchased yet, kind of for selfish reasons. So I'm also very involved in the community, and we have a lot of debates in city council chambers. Luckily, we just had a debate in the primary. So I was wondering if we were going to have one in the general, if there, if that timing system is, has been purchased yet.
Yeah, it has been, it's been installed. Yeah, it's been in place since, before the council recess. But it hasn't been used yet. We've trained the council staff and others to be able to use it. So I would expect that you'll see that that playing a role in forthcoming meetings. The way that it works, and not to go too down in the weeds, but it's not really possible to have a timer that's inside of, that's running inside of Zoom, and like a physical timer that's in the, you know, council chambers. So what we, what we're doing is we're using the timer that's built into to Zoom. It's a separate app. It's called like Blue Sky, and that runs the timer. And what we're doing is we're putting a small monitor that's at the lectern, you know, for the public, that has an indicator, you know, that has that same Blue Sky timer with the countdown that goes like green, yellow, you know, and red there. So it's visually apparent to speakers that are at the lectern, as well as those who are watching on Zoom or in the room that are seeing the Zoom display on the monitors inside the council chambers.
So it'll hopefully be in the next couple weeks that we see it, like for ourselves, you know, like in real time.
That, you know, that depends on if the council, you know, the council staff and the council, you know, wants to use it, but it's there, you know, and we've trained them to use it when they're ready.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Are there any additional questions? Be happy to entertain any from you, regardless of its, you know, meridium. I'll do what I can to help you answer any questions about IT at the city or any other topic, or at least refer you to somebody who's much more knowledgeable than I am.
I don't see any other questions, Rick. Whoops. Now two people have raised their hands. Kathleen?
Yes. On your map, Rick, I'm in Park Ridge East, and I saw on that map just one single red line look like maybe on the street. Is the plan to come into Park Ridge East? I know AT&T has come into the back of the area with fiber.
Yeah, this network will be present, you know, throughout the community. You know, if you're seeing like one red line, that might indicate that there's an underground, you know, fiber path, and then it's going aerially from there. If you saw some blue lines, you know, that's an early draft of the, you know, of the design, but you know, Park Ridge East isn't going to be left out of this.
Thank you.
All right. Elizabeth?
Okay, this is kind of a nerdy kind of question, but somebody like Rick, who's smart, would understand it. I am curious because the city does a Google platform for, say, if you're trying to apply for a neighborhood assistance grant. It is on the Google platform. Mm. However, if you belong to another Google platform, say for your neighborhood association or for something else, you can't apply on the Google platform with the city because it's, for some reason, it will only take one Google platform. And so therefore, when I tried for our grants for our neighborhood association, I had to literally fill it all out, print the thing out, and toddle it down to the city. And I was wondering if there's any way somebody smart like Rick could come have a workaround, because a lot of neighborhoods use the Google platform to keep in touch with each other. And this could pose a problem with communications with the city. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure about the problem that you describe. It sounds like there may be some kind of conflict with various user, accounts, that is, causing a problem with your submission for that. I'm happy to work with you to try to figure that out, because we obviously don't want folks to be experiencing that. The reason, for the most part, that we're using, I think what you're describing as a Google Forms submission process is for it to be simple and easy. But if that's not your experience, then we want to make sure we understand why and can fix it. If you want to drop me, an email, that would be a great way to start that, or share your email in the chat.
Thanks, Rick. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of people who came late to the meeting and wondered if it was possible for you to share that implementation map, or if it's posted online somewhere that they could access it, and would also like to have you share your email one more time.
Okay, sure. I can possibly pop that back up. Okay, so there's my email, if everybody can see that. It's dietzr, dietzr at bloomington.in.gov. And then I'll scoot back up to the maps. And maybe, yeah. And again, this is a relatively early map, but the intent is to cover everywhere within the city. The only area that is somewhat left out is essentially the IU campuses and IU properties that are already supported by their network group.
Is this presentation available online anywhere, Rick?
It's not currently, but I can upload it and I'll put it at it'll be at bloomington.in.gov/fiber.
Okay. Thank you. And then Cynthia's been uploading some of our previous recordings, and I expect that this will get uploaded in a relatively short time since she's figured out how to do it. And now we have a question. It says, I saw the map earlier in the meeting in Rick's email. It's just the map is somewhat hard to see. Okay, she said thank you. Oops.
Yeah, this is just squeezed, down to fit in the presentation boundary.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go off of screen share now.
All righty. All right. Any other questions for Rick? If not, I'll express our thanks for this information. And whoops, Kathleen has her hand up again. Go ahead. No?
No, I was clapping.
Oh, sorry. I took that as a hand.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the clapping icon. I'll just say thank you for hosting me. I was happy to share this with you. And like I said, if you have any questions at all, don't hesitate to send me an email, and then look at bloomington.in.gov/fiber. I'll probably won't be until tomorrow, but I'll get a copy of the presentation posted there, as well as the kind of the tentative map. And it'll be a little bit larger than, you know, what you were seeing on the screen there.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
All right. And have a good night. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Too.
Okay.
I'm going to transition over to let Dawn run the rest of the meeting to do the business of Kona.
Yeah, thank you. We'd like to have the executive committee members stay on for a few minutes. Just for a brief meeting. We thank everybody for coming. Cynthia, we're sorry that you don't feel well, but you did a great job in getting started. And Rick, we appreciate a very nice, clear presentation. And I know that there's increased interest now on the topic after having seen this presentation. So thanks again. And thank you, everybody else, for coming. Okay, so can the executive committee hang on for just a moment? Nancy, Cynthia, Kath, Steve, Nancy, me. Okay.
And anybody who wants to can listen in. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting. Yeah, first of all, we need to reschedule the meeting of the executive committee, which normally would be this month on the 22nd. Cynthia won't be here, and so we're proposing we move it back a week to the 15th. So again, this would be at my place at 4 o'clock on Monday, the 15th. Is that a problem for anybody on the executive committee?
Okay.
Okay, with Elizabeth, Kath, Steve, Nancy, okay? All right, so we're set.
What was the question, Don? I'm sorry, I got distracted.
Oh, we're moving the executive committee from the 22nd of August to the 15th. Same time, same place, but just the 15th instead of the 22nd.
I think that's okay with me.
Okay, looks like it's unanimous. We've got two more things to do. We need to talk about the Treasurer's Report. I think everybody's had a chance to see it. Are there any questions on the Treasurer's Report? If not, I will accept a motion to approve.
Since I prepared it, I can't do the motion. Somebody else will have to do
that. Nancy is
looks like Nancy.
I move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the Treasurer's Report is accepted. Any additions or corrections to the minutes that were distributed?
I move to accept the minutes.
Is there a second?
Sure.
No, I can't.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Well, the minutes and Treasurer's Report are approved. Anything else we need to discuss as a committee before we all go off? Cynthia, hoping you're feeling better, and we'll see you all at my house on the 15th. Remember, next month is going to be Judy Sharp. I would think we're going to get a pretty good turnout because this is a hot topic. So I'm looking forward
very
to
bad.
Another good meeting.
Hey, see you at Boogie Fest.
Huh?
See you at Boogie Fest.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Night. Yep. Thank you, everybody.